How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the Latest Issues Etc. Journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Shurman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues Etc. Journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Educated in a small town, taught to fear Jesus in a small town, used to daydream.
If you think about where you see those iconic little churches, you drive through the country, in my part of the country, that's the Midwest, you will drive into one of these towns, and a feature of every town, it may not have a gas station, it may not have a Walmart, it may not even have a lot of houses, but it will have that little church. And there was a time in our country when the church was the center of those small towns. They didn't need all the other stuff. They could go elsewhere for that, but these communities were centered on their little church, their rural, their small town church. Nowadays, if you go to the seminary and you're an ambitious young pastor to be, you don't want to go there. You want to go to the suburbs. You want to go to a large congregation with all sorts of resources and with all those things that we consider our modern conveniences right nearby. That's where success is supposed to be. Well, I learned very early on as a small town preacher serving in a church that didn't even have a town, just had a road and a township surrounding it, that was completely untrue. We're going to talk about rural and small town ministry. Pastor Lee Hagen joins us on this Wednesday afternoon. He's senior pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Concordia, Missouri, and is author of an article for the Lutheran Witness titled Pastoral Care in the Country. Lee, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's the difference between that church sitting out there in the suburbs that's, you know, two blocks away from the strip mall and surrounded by not fields of rows of corn or wheat or beans, but rows and rows just like that of houses and apartment buildings and the church that is in the middle of the cornfield?
Well, in one sense, there are some tremendous similarities in that the needs of the people are going to be the same, in that what's the church exist for but to share with them God's word, to feed and nourish and care for God's people. And that remains the same whether it's in the most urban setting or whether it's out in the middle of nowhere in a rural setting. But the experiences of the people can be significantly different. And I think one of the big differences is that in suburban settings, people move in and you don't have the same kind of family dynamics that you have in rural congregations. And those are not that one is better or worse, but just that's part of the reality of the situation. You have families that are in congregations for five and six generations and really celebrate that in rural settings, that you may not always have that same kind of thing in a suburban or urban setting where people move around much more.
That's one of the things I've noticed mentioned, kind of the mobility factor, and that is often in the rural setting, the small town setting, people are tied to the place. And as a family, more than they would be in a city or a suburb. Talk about that.
Well, I think the attachment to the land is so very important and has been a huge learning experience for me in my almost 10 years here in Concordia. I mean, those signs out in front of a farm that says Century Family Farm in Missouri, those signs matter, and they're very significant for families. There's very much an understanding that the land is a heritage and is passed on from one generation to the next, and those kinds of things really are important for families, that being in touch with the land. And at the same time, we also see that it's presented some challenges because a lot of families, they're having to farm more land. We see that families aren't having the numbers of children that they once had because you know, years ago you had a lot of kids because that those made for good hands on the farm, whereas combines today can sure do a lot of work, just one combine. So in some ways we've seen some decreases in population in rural settings, and it's made for some new dynamics that rural settings families are having to deal with.
Before we go to this break, tell us a story about this young man, young pastor, in fact, that you tell his story in the article, Joshua Lowe.
Sure. One of the things, Pastor Lowe grew up in a fairly rural setting in Missouri, but because of his vision impairment, his expectation was that he would serve in a more of an urban or suburban setting where he could make use of public transportation, because certainly hospital calls and shut-in visits are very much one of the key responsibilities of a parish pastor. And so to go to a rural setting, that would present quite a challenge. And so Pastor Lowe received a call to a small town in Nebraska, Blue Hill. It's less than 1,000 people, and he was single at the time. He's now since married, but those early years of making hospital calls and shut-in visits and caring for the flock there, he was completely dependent upon the people of the congregation, and he said it helped to create a wonderful marriage, in a sense, between pastor and people, that they really took ownership of the importance of the pastor visiting the people. And so they really responded to the need for their own flock by making sure that their pastor could get out and see those folks that are in need. And you know, I didn't really have the opportunity to push Pastor Lowe about pastoral emergencies and how he handled that kind of thing. But certainly, Todd, you know, from your parish experience, not all of those visits can be planned out with on a monthly calendar and that kind of thing. And so it's really been kind of neat to hear how that congregation worked with their pastor so that they could care for the needs of the flock.
We're talking about rural and small-town ministry, small-town churches. Pastor Lee Hagen is our guest, author of an article for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Pastoral Care in the Country. When we come back, we'll talk about that country church as a mission field. Stay tuned. Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Lee Hagin is our guest for the next 10 minutes. In the second hour of the program, we'll spend some time talking about the conscience rights of American Catholics. We really should say the conscience rights of American Christians, because in this case, especially as the news has unfolded lately with regard to birth control and health care and all of those things, we're really talking about the Christian conscience, not just the Catholic conscience. The Catholics are kind of standing in for all of us in that sense. Pastor Lee Hagin is our guest. We're talking about rural small-town ministry. Let's talk about it as a mission field. I think a lot of people would say, golly, if you've got families that have been members of a congregation, a little congregation in the middle of Missouri for the last five generations, that's not a mission field anymore. How would you respond to that, Lee?
Well, I think there's a tendency to assume that, and that's not – the facts don't bear that out. Our county, for instance, has 52% unchurched, and so there's tremendous mission field. We're also seeing significant changes in terms of the demographics in a lot of rural settings where we're seeing immigrant population moving into our midst, and not just Hispanic population. I was reading about the community of Storm Lake, Iowa, which isn't exactly a huge megalopolis, but in a 10-year period, their ethnic population increased from 3% to 15%. And it's not just Hispanics, but they're also seeing Asian and African immigrants moving in. And that was kind of news to me. A couple pastors had shared that kind of information with me, and I didn't realize that African immigrant populations were moving into places like Minnesota, Kansas, Iowa, Nebraska. Packing plants can be the source for a lot of that that kind of thing, and you're seeing a lot of Muslim population out in the heartland that just wasn't something that we even thought about 10 and 15 years ago, much less 50 years ago. So there is quite a mission field that is right out the doorstep of even the country churches.
We're also being told either overtly or more subtly that the future of the church is in my term for it is the big box church. The future of the church is in the one-stop shopping 2,000-plus member, we can do everything for you, and we have all the resources in the world, and that's where the church is headed in America. I tend to disagree. Talk about the advantages of if you're going to use the analogy of the big box, talk about the mom-pa operation that we also often find in the small town or the rural setting.
Well, I think one of the things you see is churches are much more able to respond. It's not this great, huge organization, but because things are more mom and pop, we're able to respond to needs without having policies, without having to take things to some group and vote and that kind of thing. When there's a need in the community, when there's a need within the congregation, the church is far more agile to be able to respond to some of those basic needs. And you see that people are cared for. You know, I happen to serve a larger congregation in a small town, but I was covering for a pastor nearby who was out of town for a weekend, and so I was at one of the smaller congregations in our circuit, and, went through their kind of customs of announcements after the service, and one of the things they said was, so-and-so's not here today. Well, in a smaller congregation, you're able to provide a little bit more focus and care for people that sometimes can get lost in a really large congregation. And that's, in our very impersonal culture today, that face-to-face, one-on-one communication and care is really important. And you're talking about pastors knowing their people. Pastors being able to get into the homes of their people, pastors that when they make those visits in the hospital or in the home, they're not having to read up on a card on who they're going to see because it's a huge congregation and it's a staff of 17 or something. You're talking about one pastor caring for a flock, and that's very. In a sense, it's kind of like that marriage that the article talked about. It's a very close relationship between the pastor and the people.
Therefore, I think My experience, which was 10 years in a parish that was 170 people, if we counted a couple dogs, to round it up to 170, there was a great advantage that I did not realize until afterward, and that is kind of the accountability that so many churches are looking for and so many pastors are desperate to have. But that was built into this. When I went to see someone's mother, the whole family knew about it. I never had to make a pastoral report, although I occasionally did write one, because everybody was up on what pastor was doing. It was pretty much common knowledge because it was that tight-knit and it was that close. Talk about that.
Well, it's funny when you make shut-in calls how often that you're visiting with the couple and somebody will call and they'll say, well, I'm sorry, I'll talk to you later. Pastor's here right now. And you'll have somebody say, oh, I understand you were out seeing so-and-so. You're right. I mean, that word gets around, and that's part of the importance of being a calling pastor in a rural community. Those relationships are very important, and the congregation takes that very seriously, that the pastor is a shepherd that has to know each member of the flock by name.
Talk a little bit about the fact that in small town and rural congregations, even ones that may be geographically isolated from one another, I'm thinking about going a little farther west where you can have congregations in the same district or circuit that are 100 miles apart, and that's not unusual. There still is a tendency with the rural setting to avoid the temptation of one congregation isolating itself from other congregations. The congregations themselves tend to band together a little better.
I certainly hope so, and I think some of that is our tradition and heritage in a positive way. In generations gone by, the youth organization in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod was the Walther League, and it was a great organization because it was congregations banding together to support the young people and young adults of the congregations. And that was never viewed as something that pitted one congregation against another. There wasn't it wasn't a competition, but truly a partnership that we're in this together. And you know, sometimes there can be some of that mentality even in rural settings, but the hope is that congregations can look for ways in which they can work together, whether it's to operate a Christian day school, a Lutheran school. Not as many congregations are able to do that in rural settings today, and so you see that as a way that congregations can work together so that we can still provide a Lutheran education for our children. But even things like ladies' organizations, men's organizations, those can be things that congregations can work one with another together. And can be a real positive thing for the congregations.
Finally, then, with about a minute here, Pastor Hagen, let's go back to where we began. You said that at its heart, the needs of a small rural congregation are exactly the same as the needs of a large city congregation or suburban congregation. What is the same? What doesn't change about the church, regardless of where it is located, how many members it has, or how big its community?
We preach Christ crucified. I mean, that's the message that should resonate from every pulpit in inner city New York or in rural Nebraska, to share Christ with God's people through word and sacrament, and that's the one thing that doesn't change. And that's what binds us together as a church body, and that's the one thing that we pray that would continue to be the heart and center of our life together.
Pastor Lee Hagen is senior pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Concordia, Missouri. He's author of an article for the Lutheran Witness titled Pastoral Care in the Country. Lee, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much. God's blessings.
When we come back, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. is straight ahead on this Wednesday afternoon. We're going to be talking with Robert Morrison. He's a senior fellow for policy studies at the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. He has authored a recent column for National Review Online titled Why This Lutheran Defends Catholics' Conscience Rights. Of course, it's not just Catholics. It is the Christian conscience that is under assault by, well, from several fronts, especially here in America. And we'll talk about why it's important to all of us that the conscience be maintained and not compromised, regardless of what the government may want us to do in terms of compromise. A little bit later, I'm looking forward to this conversation with Eric Metaxas. He's been on the program before. He's a Yale University grad and author of the book Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy. We talked with him about that book before, but he was also speaker at the National Prayer Breakfast. He had the privilege of speaking directly before President Barack Obama. I listened to his speech. It was affable. It was funny. He made some good points. Now it's being reviewed by the National Review as, I think the term they used was heat-seeking missiles directed at the president. I don't know if that's a fair way of talking about it, but we'll see what he had to say and why he said it the way he did at the National Prayer Breakfast in hour two of Issues Etc. You can join us live for the next hour of the program, 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, February the 8th, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Hour two in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.